Today on Real Radio.
Same is true about a sinner like me who's been forgiven a lot. What was it, Pastor? Ain't gonna tell you. But I love God big time because you know what? I should be dead or in prison forever. He's forgiven me. So you know what? I love him. Listen, those of you who are thinking this morning, I can't come to God. I'm too filthy. Hey, you win the biggest.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in a presentation called What If Jesus Rose from the Dead? It's the last in a series that keeps with our theme of Passion Week, the final days before the execution of Jesus of Nazareth. Well, how is it that after 2 millennia, nobody has yet found the body? So, what if Jesus really rose from the dead? That's the title of this presentation. Let's continue. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
He is the great physician, the great surgeon, and he takes your life and my life from our days gone by, and he says, I'm going to take all of your failure and all of your fear and all of your sin and pain and hurt and all the things that were done against you, and I'm going to convert them into strength in your life. He redeems. He reshapes. He makes that point of weakness stronger than any other place. I can tell you this, it's been 30 years ago since I came to know Jesus Christ, and I can tell you the life that I had before that was a life that I don't want to talk about. It was a life though, those things that set me back, only in Jesus can I now say I wouldn't have changed a thing. I don't know if you like this or not, it's the strength that was once a horrible weakness. I grew up in a home that it was extremely demanding, hard. And when you grow up in a yoke like that, you come away thinking you can't please anybody in this life. And it doesn't matter how good of a job you do, it's not going to be good enough. And you carry that through with you all your life. And then you meet Jesus, who did it all for you.
Hallelujah.
And I tell you, for a nut like me, that's a hard thing. Because wait a minute, Jesus, thank you for loving me, and I'm going to accept you as my Lord and Savior. That's great, but from here on out, I'll help you. It took many years of my Christian life to get that knocked into my head. I don't need your help, Jack. But he melted me when I finally read the Bible and believed it, when it said, I'm accepted in the beloved. That's the term for Jesus. I'm accepted in Jesus. Listen, I may not be acceptable to you. I may not be acceptable to my neighbor. But according to Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for me, and I believe he did that for me, God the Father says, well, you're acceptable to me. And when you have rejection in your life, and you come to find out that God is for you, then who can be against you? The answer is everybody can be against you. It just doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. Because the one who matters is for you. What a wonderful truth and what a great comfort that is. So my past can be repaired through God and he can make it a great victory. And then what about my now? I can have absolute purpose right now. Your life's not an accident, friend. Everything that's going on in your life today, even to this moment, maybe there are situations that brought you to church today. You're only here because Easter's a good excuse to come. You've been wanting to come to church. Those situations God is dealing in your life now. He's trying to speak to you. I recommend you listen because there's nobody that loves you like he loves you. All of your life's successes and all of your life's tragedies, he's been with you. Absolute purpose, past, now. What about the future? You're going to want to write this down. I don't care if you're an atheist this morning. You're going to want to write this verse down. It's coming up. It's awesome. You're going to want this. In fact, the Bible says, listen, I'll give you a little prelude to this verse. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. You see, I thought it was God smacking me. No, I thought it was the fear of hell. Nope. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. Watch this. Are you ready? Here it comes. I stalled long enough for you to write it down. Here we go. It's Jeremiah 29, 11 and 12. Incredible. This is what God says concerning purpose, concerning your future. Listen to this. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Here it comes. Thoughts of peace, not evil. Really? That's what God said. To give you a future and a hope. Wow. That's in the Bible? Oh yeah, you ought to read it. It's pretty amazing. There's more. Then you will call to me and go and pray and I will listen to you. That's what the Lord says. He said, well, what's the big deal? Here's the big deal. God says that he esteems his own word above his own name. The Bible, this is God's word. When you talk to the Lord, Father, I'm talking to you, and I don't feel like you're hearing me right now. In fact, it's a gloomy day. It's cloudy, could rain. Can you imagine in California, it could rain? I'm depressed. Well, God, you said when I pray to you, you'll listen. And Jeremiah 29, 11, and 12 says you're listening. Jesus said, if my word abides in you, you can pray and ask God what you wish, and it shall be done unto you. Why? Based upon the word of God dwelling in you. That's awesome. That's amazing. There's a future for us. Do you have that assurance? Do you know Jesus personally? Well, I'm offended at that. I've been a member of the First Baptocostal Brethren thing forever. That's not what I asked you, though. That's great, but you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that just sounds like words, but for those of you who know, and I know many of you know, when you say, Lord, come into my life, Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins and make me your child, I want to follow you, something happens, and your thinking begins to change, your pursuits get into perspective. Things begin to make sense. A whole new life begins. But you won't know that unless you step out and taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, listen, third and final point is this about an absolute life. It is this, that it means if Jesus rose from the dead, it means that there's an absolute life to be lived. I mean, let's be honest. Christian, listen up. And I'm just talking to the Christian this morning. Those of you who are not sure, you just don't listen to this part. Hey, Christian, listen. If we would just grow up and start obeying God's word when he says to do what he's told us to do, about loving others and about stop gossiping, if we listen to Jesus who said, love your enemies, Christian, I'm just talking to the Christian, the neighbors on our street or in our at work that drive us nuts, instead of fighting them, why don't we start loving these people? And target them. Did you know that there's a whole world looking on? They know that you're a Christian. They saw, they may not have heard it from you, but they saw, at least your car is a Christian. They saw a Christian sticker on your car. And so they've concluded, he might be a Christian, that guy. Listen, if we just lived like Jesus would have us to live, and it's not hard, people would begin to say, you know what? Wow, can I hear about this God of yours? Maybe there's some truth. If we lived an absolute life, Jesus said, I have come to give you life and that more abundantly, an awesome life. You guys, listen, Christian, and now I'm just talking to your non-Christian friends here this morning. Your friend who brought you, who's a Christian, or if you know any Christians, they're not perfect. You probably figured that out by now. They're not perfect. We are sinners, but we don't want to sin, but we sin. And if we're not sinning on the outside, we got sin going on the inside. We have to fight thoughts all the time. And even when we pray, we start praying, dear God, bless, you know, Susie's little boy who's sick. And did I change? When's the last time I changed the oil in my car? Things happen like that. But listen, these three things are things that we need to realize about having this absolute life, is assured life. Absolute life assured for you and your peace. Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 28, I will be with you always. You say, how can he be with me always when he's in heaven? Ah, great question. Jesus said, I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to pray to the Father, and he will give you the Holy Spirit. And he said, when I go, I will send the Holy Spirit who will come to you. Now watch. He said, he will come to you. I will not leave you orphaned. Then he said, I will come to you. How is it that Jesus never leaves us or forsakes us? By the person of the Holy Spirit. How does Jesus Christ move into the life, into the heart of every human being who says yes to him? By the person of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit of God moves in, dwells within you. Not yet, if you're not a Christian, but he's ready to move in. Right now, the Bible says that he's knocking on the door of your heart, so to speak. He wants to come in. If you don't know what that's like, you don't know. But if you do, you know. And you know this, that peace comes with that. No more fighting against God. It's peace with God. Not only the peace with God, but the peace of God. Number one, peace with God. No more fighting with God. The war is over. You're now his child. You're in the family. There's no more beef. No more argument. Number two, peace of God. The peace of God is when the world is going crazy. Church, is not the world going nuts? It's going to go a lot nuttier. This is the least amount of nuts as we'll have today. It's going to get nuttier. Well, don't say that. Hey, the Bible says it. It's going to get crazy. But Jesus said, don't worry. My peace I leave with you. Not the kind of peace the world gives. My peace I give unto you. Man, I hope you know that. It's the kind of peace that allows you to sleep at night. It's the kind of peace that causes you to relax. Even when the boss says, you know what? You're fired. You have peace. In fact, your friends are going to get upset. Could be your husband. Could be your wife. You come home. How's your day? It's all right. Anything happen? That's normal. What happened? I got fired. You what? I got fired today. I don't know. Accidentally parked in the boss's parking spot. I don't know. I got fired. When people see the peace of God in your life, I don't mean you're lazy now. Oh, well, you know, I guess God's going to feed me. No, I'm not talking about that. But you can have peace, and people around you will begin to think, what's wrong with him? Was he drinking something? What kind of a pill is he on anyway? The guy's house just burned down. He's got peace. Well, he's over there in the corner singing songs to his kids. What a weirdo. You can have the peace of God. People are not going to understand that. It's so real. Well, and then, if Jesus Christ rose from the dead and there's absolute life to be had, then that absolute life is worthy of you and I to lean upon. Oh, boy, this is great. To lean upon the Lord is the greatest thing you can do. Out in the courtyard after second service, I knew this family, but I'd never seen their little girl before. And a little tiny thing. And I said, now, can you imagine this big face coming up to you? And I have a big mouth, too. And this little kid, she's in there in a little Easter dress. She's all cute. She's maybe 1.5. Just kind of launching out, walking. And I said, hi, sweetie, how are you? And that kid went. and grabbed right onto her dad's leg. Don't you think God would have us do that to him? Yeah. Satan comes walking up. Hi, Jack, how are you? You know. It doesn't have to be Satan. It could be that girl at the office, Bubbles at the drinking machine. Could be Rocky there. Oh, look at him. He's so handsome. He's so cute. And he's got muscles. Hey, watch out. Run to your father and grab on his knee. He's so very good to us. And we end with this. Absolute life, he offers it to you and I to receive. This is an amazing thing. You guys, come on, think. When in religion there is a select group of people And they say things like this. You can't be with us. We are a special group. Whenever you hear that, be so happy that you're not supposed to be with them. That's called a cult. Well, it's just our little group. If you're going to be with us, you got to do this. Jesus never did that. Jesus never said that. Jesus' invitation goes out to the world. Listen, no one died for your sins but Jesus, says the Bible. No one loves you but God, says the Bible. You'll find no one in this world who will stay with you through thick and thin. Nobody. Even with the best intentions, you guys, I could say to you, I promise I'll pick you up at 3:00. I could be very sincere about that promise. Here's the problem. I'm a human being, and I live in a sinful world. Even with the best intentions, I could forget. And at my age, I'll probably forget. Or I could be going there having remembered driving down the freeway. I could get a flat tire. I could get in an accident. With the best intentions, I cannot fulfill what you need. But God can, and he does. And when he does that, my friend, he's made you an offer that is ultimate. He says, for example, in Romans chapter 10, and this is our last verse, we're done. Romans chapter 10, verse 8, listen to this. Amazing. What does the scripture say? Quote, the word is near to you, even in your mouth. It is in your heart. That means you know what to do. That is the word of faith which has been preached to you. That's what just happened today. That if you confess, ek homo legeo, confess, ek out of, homo, same, logos, word. If you say the same thing out of your heart that God says, you will be saved. Ek homo legeo. Watch this. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. By the way, that's not our righteousness. Isn't that great? It's with the heart we believe that what Jesus did on the cross was for our righteousness that he gives to us, not that we obtain. The Bible says, listen, I hope this is news to some of you here today. The Bible says that by the keeping of the law of God shall no man be justified before God. You say, wait a minute. What about the Ten Commandments? What about them? I think they're amazing. They're beyond amazing. They're perfect. Yeah, that's what I mean, perfect. Have you kept the Ten Commandments? 9 of them. You're in trouble. The law was given to show us our need for Christ. The law can't save us. Isn't it funny? Here's the Ten Commandments. They're holy and just, but when people begin to look at the Ten Commandments, this is what you need. Need for what? The Ten Commandments, God's law, was given to convince you and I that we went over 55 miles an hour. That's what the law's for. It's to keep us under wraps. But if we go over, look, when we're driving down the road and we go over 55, what is the speed limit now? Is it 65 or 55? It is 65. Anyway, okay, if you're going 65 miles an hour and you go 66, 67, 70, listen, God does not grade on a curve regarding his law. The signs don't change 67. The sign doesn't say 68. Look, honey, how cool is that? I'm going 68. The sign says 68. Speed up. Okay. Look, it's 73. The sign says 73. Isn't this amazing? That's not what happens. God's word says 65, and you go 66. Now, here's what's funny about us and our culture. Can the police officer write you a ticket for going 66? Yes. He sure can. Who says so? The thing right there on his chest, that badge. You're going 66 and a 65. We're taking you in. Listen, God says, You're to have no other God before me. You love nothing but me first. Me first. When I wake up to reading that, I find out I'm in trouble already. Because I love too many things. Makes me fall on my face and say, God, I'm so sorry. Even if I want this, I find out there's so much going on in my life that pulls me off of that. Please forgive me. And God might say like this, I would love to forgive you. I can't forgive you because you're not coming to me by way of forgiveness. You broke my law. I do love you. But here is the ticket out of your dilemma. Jesus, the Christ, died in your place to pay your debt, which you cannot even afford to pay, even though you went 66. And he will pay your debt. And on top of it, I will give unto you his righteousness. Do I still struggle with sin in this life? Yes, but positionally before God, that's why the Lord says, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. The word means to those who believe in him. How can we be forgiven like that? We're wretched, stinky people. Because you know what? Jesus paid that great of a debt and rose again on Sunday morning to guarantee it. And that's a wonderful thing. So we end with this. How do we enjoy this? How do we come into this? How did many of you Christians get this? And here's what we're going to do right now. I want everybody to be seated. We're going to be done here in about 5-8 minutes. It'll be all over. The worship group's getting up. They're going to be coming. Everybody sit still because this is the big moment. Everyone that Jesus called to be in his family, to know him, he called them publicly. Even with Nicodemus, who they were alone at night talking, Nicodemus came forward and announced Jesus Christ at the end in John's gospel. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. Wow. How about I'll make up my mind later? The word means for him or against him. You are either in his boat or you are in the water. You're either in the water or you're in his boat. You can't be half in the boat and half in the water. Like a duck halfway there, you know. He said, all those who will come to me, I will by no means cast away. Some of you need to hear that. Jack, I love this message. I love Jesus. I love what you're telling me about the Bible, but I can't come to God because I'm such a humongous sinner. You have no idea what I've done. Oh, man, you need to read the Bible then. I'll get a little bit of an inside clue here. The Bible says the sinners who are the biggest, when they're forgiven, love God the most. That makes sense. Have you ever seen a spoiled kid who's been spoiled all their life and you buy them a gift and they go, huh, oh, thanks. You know, a little creep, you almost want to nail it to him. But have you ever given a gift to somebody who doesn't have anything? Thank you, oh my goodness, this is so much fun. I've always wanted one of these, thank you. Doesn't it warm your heart? Same is true about a sinner like me who's been forgiven a lot. What was it, Pastor? Ain't gonna tell you. But I love God big time because you know what? I should be dead or in prison forever. He's forgiven me. So you know what? I love him. Listen, those of you who are thinking this morning, I can't come to God. I'm too filthy. Hey, you win the biggest. Remember, he's the Savior. You gotta need him as a Savior for him to be your Savior.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation the title of which is quite the compelling question, What If Jesus Really Rose from the Dead? Now, this is part of a series we're presenting this week here on Real Radio because this is that time of year that followers of Jesus celebrate and recognize the primary mission of the Messiah of Israel's first coming and what he demonstrated and accomplished according to prophetic scripture. On Monday's edition of Real Radio, our teacher resumes his series through Paul's letters to Timothy, so be sure and join us once again. Visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org, or call us at 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills declare that He is risen. He is risen indeed.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.